And Brian, I want to welcome you this morning. I'm so glad about your faith in Christ and the way that you represent Jesus well in all that you do. So Brian, welcome to Hidden Creek.
Thank you. I don't know if it's true, but I heard that you guys really love Jesus down here. So, that's me. A lot of my old friends and stuff before I started this walk say, "Hey, you turned into a Jesus freak," and I'm like, "Okay." So, a little bit about me. Like you said, I'm a detective. I did have the privilege of being in the movie with Darling. You know, I thought I was gonna be this big movie star. Then I see the movie and meet Darling, and the career just never took off. So thank you. Thank you, Darley. I appreciate that. But thank you, Tim, for allowing me to come down here and speak to you. When Tim first approached me with this idea, I was a little nervous. I was like, what am I going to say? But then, you know, I prayed about it, and God said, just be you. I'll accept you as you are. So we can start off with the reading of a little scripture. This is a person that I identify with in the Bible. And turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, verse 5 through 7. This guy is not a star in the Bible, but this is me. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame and were healed. We'll continue down in 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and he will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let the church say amen at the reading of his word. So, a little about me. I guess I may need these glasses, huh? Anyway, you can go to the next slide. That's me. That's 18-year-old me in high school. And I know the color might be off. It was actually pink suit. Pink blazer and pink pants, but that was the 80s, and I'm not the only one that has embarrassing pictures from when they were kids. But there's a story behind that pink suit, and it ties in to where I'm at today. The passion that I have for all these daughters of our Lord and Savior that's out here being humiliated and exploited every day. I grew up in Southwest Michigan, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Grew up in a Southern Baptist church, a large church, that was more about customs and the way you dressed and all those things, but it was something that that we had to do. You know, all day Sunday was spent in church. Wednesdays were spent in church. Friday was choir practice, even though you can tell by the tone of my voice I can't sing. And then Sunday we did it all over again. That was my life. However, there was certain people in the neighborhood that I kind of looked up to. And one of those people happened to be a pimp. He went by, his street name was the Pink Panther. He drove this pink Cadillac that was a convertible, and I just thought he was the coolest thing ever. So I wanted to honor him. That's who I thought of by wearing that pink suit in high school. That was my attitude at the time. Once I graduated from high school, I went and started living a very reckless lifestyle. I went off to college, got away from my mom. I didn't think this church thing was for me. Although now I see I was covered by the Lord during this period of recklessness that I lived. I went to college, did a little time in the military, became a police officer at 26. Started on the same day as my partner, Joel Banks. Joel has, I truly believe God put him in my life. He's a man of faith, have been a man of faith his entire life. He wasn't the type of guy that I would gravitate to, but God has kept us joined at the hip since day one. We went to the academy together. We worked patrol together. We were in the same units, and he's always there, you know. After about that first year, learned that he had a pretty cool personality, and I stopped referring to him as the redheaded nerd. So I thank him for witnessing to me with his actions and loving me and meeting me where I'm at, you know. And today I consider him a brother, definitely a brother in Christ, but I consider him a brother because he's one of the few people that I felt that always cared about me, no matter who I was or what I was doing or what I was up to. So after becoming a police officer, I did my stint in patrol. I moved into detectives, didn't care about much, but putting the bad guys in jail, and then there was 2 days a month where we got paid, where it was a pretty cool job to get the paychecks, made a pretty good living, but was always missing something. I just couldn't figure out why I was never happy. I always felt like somebody, whoever was in my life at the time, I felt like they only cared about me because of what I can give them. So 4 years ago, coming up on 4 years ago, on Mother's Day, I found myself in a position where I was really depressed. You really good, make a really good living, and I only had enough money for one gift for my mom. I didn't have enough money to get a gift from my wife. So I look for a job on this Sunday where they allow us to go out and work off-duty security jobs. And I found a job at a church, city church, up in Kirkland. So I put on my uniform. I drive out to the church. I'm there for the two services there. Looking for, they like to hire security because they had problem with people breaking into cars and stuff. But I'm standing in the foyer there, and I listen to the message, and literally it's my first time in church since I was 18. So I found it to be really warm, inviting. Pastor Judah Smith preached a really good message. I thought that was kind of cool. I always had a healthy respect for the church. I just didn't think I deserved the church. But I enjoy this message. But during that time, I'm just praying. I was like, man, I hope they pay me right after this job so I can run out and get a gift for my wife. That was all that was on my mind. I need this money after this job, you know, like $200, so I can go out and get her a gift. After the first service, there was a young lady came out and two men, and they walked up to me, this cop, in full uniform with my gun and stuff on, and they said, you mind if we pray with you? I said, oh, okay, great, let's pray. So they put their, we held hands, and one of the gentlemen started praying, and I don't remember word for word, but he asked for like financial blessings for me, was the crux of that prayer. And I was like, whoa, lucky guess, but, or I don't know what this is. I don't know. I mean, how do you know that I'm worried about money right now? So it kind of freaked me out a little bit. I go through the second service. After the second service concluded, associate pastor comes up to me, and he goes, come to the office, we'll get you your check. I'm like, yes. I'm going to rush to the ATM, and I'm going to get this gift for my wife, and everything will be all good. So we're in his office. He write out the check to me. I start to walk out, and just when I got outside the door, he's like, hey, can you hang on for a second? I was like, sure. I walk in. I come back into the office. He leaves the office for about 5 minutes. And I'm like, what's going on? Maybe they want to invite me back to work again. I don't know. But this associate pastor came in with 6 long-stem roses in his hand. And he said, do me a favor. Give these to your wife. That was my conversion. I was blown away. I said, here I am, depressed, unhappy. I walk into this church, and God meets all my needs. And it all came into focus at that time. I knew where I wanted to be. I knew who I wanted to serve. It was all about Jesus Christ. So I walk out of that church just stunned. I'm sitting in my car, and for literally like 30 minutes, I can't drive away because I'm just in tears and giving my life to Christ. And I've been going to that church ever since. Felt like that was my rebirth, so I felt like home, and I'm there all the time. So, of course, when you become a new Christian and you're on fire and you can't wait to tell everybody, and I get back to the office because I worked that day and telling Joel what I had experienced, how happy I was, what do I do? Do I want to be a preacher? Do I have to leave police work? You know, I mean, you guys laugh, but I mean, after the service, I'm sure one or two of you are going to say, keep your day job, but that's okay. Everybody got their gifts. You know. So, you know, Joel's, you know, he's super excited. He was more excited than anybody else in my life at that time, you know. And he's like, you know, it's going to work out. God's going to speak to you. You don't have to, you know, you can stop making this big poster board, and you don't have to go out on the corner and start preaching. I mean, it'll happen. Just pray. So I really got into scripture at that time. And I learned that where I am right now is exactly where God wants me to be. Because shortly before I came to Christ, our major came in. We're in a street crimes unit. And at that time, we were doing about 90% narcotics, 90% dope, and about 10% prostitution. And the prostitution was looked at by us and by the department as kind of a nuisance thing. People didn't like seeing these girls out there on the track. Well, our department, along with a lot of other government agencies, started having money problems, and they got rid of our vice unit, our unit that was charged with working prostitution. And because our office was in SeaTac, our major came to us and like, you know, I want you guys to stop working dope. I want you guys to focus all your attention on prostitution. And of course, we were angry. We were like, you know, we're felony cops. We don't want to deal with this misdemeanor, low-level crimes that nobody care about. We like putting on our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle suits and kicking in the doors in the middle of the night. Because that's what real cops do, right? But, of course, we didn't scoff. We didn't voice our opinion to him because, again, there's 2 days a month where we just love being cops, the payday. So I wasn't going to stop it. So we go out there, and we start just rounding up the girls, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 a day, and just throwing them in jail. And we were so cynical. There were times where girls would be in the cars with Johns. And what I would do, I would tell the John, the customer, give me a statement against her, and then I can arrest her, and you can be a witness. So an element for me to prove the crime against her, I would tell the customer, you want to be a suspect or you want to be a witness? I want to be a witness. Give me a statement. And that's how we operate it. But what I start noticing is that these girls are my daughter's age. These girls attend my daughter's high school. One girl was on my daughter's soccer team, and she was only 11. And it just started hitting me. I just like, something's wrong here. So I'm fully convinced that God spoke to me, because he, you know, in his infinite wisdom, he just gave me this idea. And it kind of blew me away. He said, open your mouth, talk to him. And that's what I started doing. We started talking to him. And I say we, because Joel's right there with me, and I have another partner and my sergeant. Hey, what's going on? Why are you out here? Shouldn't you be in school? And we started learning their stories. And at that point, we just went on this crusade, this mission, both on duty and off duty, to try to save these girls. It became all about the girls. And that bring us to where we're at today. You know, we got in the social service side of it. Both Joel and I were recognized by a national organization as Soldiers of Social Work, which is totally, it's just, social workers and law enforcement traditionally don't get along. But it became all about saving the girls and not so much about putting the bad guys in jail. You can go to the next slide. So I do this 90-day reading plan. People say I go overboard, but I do it like 4 times a year, which means I'm reading the Bible cover to cover 4 times a year. I'm blessed with the passion for reading, so I read a lot. But I get something different out of it every time. And I came across this scripture that just like validated me being a police officer. And it's Romans 13, verses 1 through 5. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good. You will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Did Paul write 2,000 years ago that I'm already a minister? I don't have to quit my job and go back to school and try to start a church. So that, for me, that just became my mantra. That let me know that, hey, you got a purpose out here. God don't make mistakes. He puts you exactly where he wants you to be. And where we are is we're out there on the streets day in, day out, meeting these young women, girls and women, because we don't differentiate for age, because most of the women you run into are 20, 25, 30, 35 years old, were started out when they were teenagers. So we're meeting them at their most vulnerable, their rawest, where they're They have no hope. They feel like they have no hope. And we're able to minister to them through our job. Now, obviously, we represent the government. So I can't just corner them and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, or let's read this Bible. You know, but what I've learned is that Christ is in me, so I have to pattern my life after Jesus Christ, and I can witness with my actions. And then sometimes I'll get the opportunity, he'll give me the opportunity to use words, and that's exactly how it's happened. You know, I'm fully convinced when Jesus Christ, when he was in Zacchaeus' house, when he told him he was going to stay at his house, the chief tax collector, that he went in and had dinner with them. Obviously, the Pharisees, all the scribes, the legalistics of the day had a problem with that, hanging out with sinners. I would guess that he did not sit down at that table and overwhelm them with scripture. I would guess that he welcomed them in with who he was, which in turn made them want to know who he was. So you can go on to the next slide. So this transformation, what it led to is, hey, this job is way bigger. It's way bigger than just putting the bad guys in the bad gals in jail. It's not about that. It's about us helping the girls. So now when we come on these girls, it's not like give me a statement against your pimp. You got to testify against your pimp. It's what do you need? What can I do for you? How can I help you? You know. And I was talking to Tim early on about this scripture, one that I came across, John 21, and it just like lays it out. I am so blind. I just hate getting old. Obviously, I'm not a student either, but. Verse 15 to 17. So when they were eating breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You're God. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And that's what we're out there doing. One soul at a time is trying to save these girls. You can go to the next slide. So, I know Philip, very innocuous, don't get brought up much. He's not famous like Paul or Peter, but reading his story, it's just like, it's me because I want to be obedient. So, obviously, first coming to our attention in Acts chapter 6, he was one of the seven that was chosen to spread the word, spread the gospel, the good news. Because of persecution, he ran off to Samaria. In Samaria, he found great success. I mean, he was preaching to thousands. Thousands were giving their life to Christ. You can go to the next slide. So lessons that I get from it is he was obedient. While in Samaria, an angel appeared to him. A spirit appeared to him. That's how it's described in New King James. And said, I need you to go on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he traveled about 50 miles on foot. He has all this success. Everybody liked to, you know, the human part of us like to be recognized. Want everybody to know our name. And he left that just because the Spirit told him without question. And while he's on that road, he runs into this Ethiopian who's in a chariot trying to, you know, figure out scripture, right? Reading a passage but not really not understand. The Spirit told him, I want you to minister to this Ethiopian. And Philip ran to him. He didn't think, he was so exuberant. He was so on fire for Jesus Christ. He ran to him. You know, and that stuck out to me. And he jumped in the chariot. He went through this Isaiah passage with him, explained it to him. And the end result of that is this Ethiopian, you know, gave his life to Christ. You can go to the next slide. So the willingness to teach one as well as the many, I think that's where we find a lot of a majority of us. All of us can't be Tim. This is where we're at. I believe we're all called to be disciples. We're all called to reach out to the one. We're all called to witness, spread the good news. The news is so good, we don't want to keep it to ourselves. And he did that. It shows dedication. It shows real love. You can go on to the next slide. And there was no prejudice. This was during a time period where the Jewish people, you know, felt like the gospel was for them. I mean, it took a miracle for Peter to preach to the Gentiles, right? But Philip did without hesitation. He didn't think twice about this being a non-Jewish person, an Ethiopian. He did it without hesitation. So we should always look at condition of the soul. All right. I have another scripture up there, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone. Everyone who believes. That's what it's all about right there. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can go to the next slide. So I believe I strive to be like Philip. I want to be colorblind, no matter how much money you have. It's all about you. For these young ladies out here, I love to say, you're the daughter of a king. When they see, you know, why are you always so happy? Why? These are the questions I get from them because I never give up on them. You know, I mess up and you still don't judge me. You still love me. You still call and check up on me. You call me out of the blue and ask me if I want to go have a burger. I always say to them, because you're the daughter of a king. What? You're the daughter of a king. What do you mean? I don't even know who my dad is. And that gives me my opportunity. That's my gateway to start telling them about Jesus. What Jesus has done for me, how Jesus has loved me in spite of me, how Jesus don't care what I do or what I've done, how Jesus finished it on the cross. So neither God nor Christ shows partiality. Why should I? And again, all need salvation. This news is too good. I think everybody in here agrees. It's God is so amazing is that you do want to share them with the world. You know, I get that big screen TV. I want to keep it to myself. I don't want to share. God got in me, and I just couldn't keep it to myself. I wanted to tell everybody about him. I wanted to tell everybody what he did for me, how he remade me. And that's what it's all about. You can go to the next slide. So like I say, I think proper technique is important. I don't think we can overwhelm people with the gospel, risking pushing them away, especially in the position that they where they happen to be. I truly try to live by this mantra that if Christ is in me, I can witness with my actions. As long as I try to be like Christ, I think God's going to give you the opportunity. So I feel like you should ask questions, just like Philip did. He asks questions. Do you understand what you're reading? That kind of gives the Ethiopian validation. He didn't come to him and just start preaching to him. I think we all have to know and use the scriptures. My partner and I always have discussions, you know, about folks that want to preach to you but don't really know Scripture. That's why we are so into Scripture. We always read Scripture, you know. If I'm feeling down, I had a pretty rough 2013. My partner will point out Scripture, open Scripture to help me feel better. And vice versa, I do the same for him. It's just how we live. Preach Jesus every opportunity. Trust me, God will give you the opportunity to spread this good news. He'll give you the opportunity, you know. It's not about what you've done or what you don't do, whoever you're talking to, you know. Read 4 chapters of the Bible, pray for 30 minutes, you'll be okay. What? It's not what it's about. So you got to look for the opportunities, recognize the opportunities. And Philip was not content on winning one soul. He ran to this town, Azotus, and continued preaching. It never stops. I got about roughly 11 years before I retire. I consider what I do as a police officer a ministry. But I also know that once I'm not putting on that badge and going to work every day, that it's not going to stop. I'm in this for life until my God calls me home. You know, go to the next slide. So we need more Phillips. We need more Phillips. We all should strive to be like Philip. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't famous. You don't hear his name too much. But he was an effective servant for Jesus Christ. And I think we all can be effective workers for Jesus Christ. It's tailor-made for this human trafficking. I don't believe all the buzz we got in our state and around the country, with our state leading, by the way. We got a great state. I don't think this is by accident. It's time. Not our timing, but God's timing. It's the reason I'm here, the reason Joel's here. Sharon and David, great friends of mine, married couple, are active in this fight. Everybody coming together, active in this fight. Darley is just a hero. You know, it's not an accident. You can go to the next slide. So Isaiah 1:17, it's all over the Bible. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. I mean, that's pretty much everybody, right? Psalm 140, 12, verse 12. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Next slide, please. This is one of my payoffs here. Cherish, I think roughly 2 years ago now, she was a young lady. She was 24 at the time. We ran into her. And then there was a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old sisters that were all being trafficked by the same guy, with Cherish being his top girl, the bottom girl. And she had first began, got trafficked when she was 14. So she had 10 years. And she was hopeless at this point. But she ran into us. And we did what we do, you know. Obviously, we were able to put the pimp in prison, rescue the two sisters, send them home. But Cherish, she really latched on to me. And I kept in touch with her, helped her any way I could, you know, just to keep her going, to get out of this life. And she was successful. She's now down in San Diego, married to a Marine, just had a baby. Got her other son back, who's about 8 now. And one thing I find, all the horrors that she has experienced at 10 years of traveling the country, being raped over and over again, And this is pretty consistent with the girls that we run into. I mean, if you have some kind of hand in helping them get out of this terror that they're living every day, they are the most caring people, and they never forget about you. I constantly get calls from girls that I've helped just checking on me, saying if I'm okay, letting me know how they're doing, asking, is there any way I can help? It's a beautiful thing, but this is Thanksgiving Day. And I'm sitting at home alone, and this pops up on my phone from Cherish. Today and every day, I am thankful for you. I wouldn't be the woman and mother I am today without you. I am forever grateful. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a blessed day. XOXO. For those folks my age, I learned what that means. I love you. So I'm like, thank you, Cherish. God has blessed you. Glad that he used me as an instrument for change, but it was not me. It was all you. You are the special one. You are an inspiration for me to want to do better. Take care of those babies and that hubby of yours, and much love and respect. You can go to the next slide. So again, the Bible is all about justice, mercy, and hope. There is verse after verse after verse. Yeah. You can go to the next slide. This is who I want to be. This is the prayer that I pray every day. Because I know I'm not where I want to be. I know I'm not who I used to be. I know I'm not perfect. I know I still make mistakes. Every now and then I'll say the same thing. I realize that I still have my sinful nature, but God loves me. This is what I say every day. I want all people to see Jesus Christ in me, so that even if they never know my name, they may one day know my God. You can go to the next slide. And that's it. So I appreciate you guys for inviting me down. Yeah, I wasn't too sure how this was going to turn out, but I hope you see that everything I do is because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's amazing to me. It's amazing how my needs are always met, no matter what I'm going through. My life has been a mess. I would like to forget 2013. Joel has counseled me so much, and it's like, you have had more spiritual growth in 2013 because of what you've gone through. You have had more spiritual growth than you did in the previous 3 years. So there's a reason for whatever happened to me in 2013. There's a reason for it, and all I have to do is trust God. So I thank you guys. I'm going to come back. I love a Bible-loving church. Thank you. I'll turn over to Tim.